Welcome to the Share Vancouver podcast, a safe space for BIPOC, LGBTQ plus individuals and allies. We are two queer South Asian women who are on a mission to highlight and celebrate queer folks and allies in our community.
Our intention is to normalize, tear down societal norms, and provide representation. We hope to build community by sharing our stories and experiences with everyone. So I'm your host, Sharon.
And I'm your host, Neri. We want to start off by doing land acknowledgement. We live, work, and play on the stolen and unceded traditional and ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Indigenous peoples. We're so grateful to be here today.
Today, we have Nyler here with us, who is originally from India. Nyler is a poet, songwriter, master connector, community builder, and creator of Queer Art Exchange. Nyler is currently involved with Queer Art Exchange and has collaborated with Queer Mango and Transgender Expression Haven. At these events, Nyler can be seen sharing their beautiful spoken word. Their poetry has been published in Gacy, Brown Girl Mag, Queer Toronto Mag, and Queerly Collective. Join us as we learn what it takes to organize and host successful queer and trans events.
Hey Nyler, welcome to the Share Vancouver podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being a guest today. We're so excited to connect with you. And for folks listening, a little background story is we connected with Nyler through their amazing Queer Art Exchange event, which they put on during the pandemic to bring queer and trans folks together across really the world, since there was folks from India, America, Canada, all in one space. And yeah, I think we started Instagramming each other, going down in the DM, and we got to learn about Nyler and how they are connecting folks from India. And also that Nyler, you are someone born and raised in India. Can you share how it was growing up queer in India?
Yes, absolutely. I was born and brought up in central India, and I wouldn't be able to say exactly how it went down because I wasn't fully out until I was 16 or 17 to myself even. So it was very challenging because I never felt comfortable being out in front of people in India. And I feel like I still have a lot of trauma that surfaces from thinking about that part of my life because it was something that I wasn't allowed to explore fully. And I hope that kids now are able to explore it more than I ever could in India. So yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah, and I think just connecting with the folks at the events who were from India, they were so loud and proud. And just traveling to India myself, I feel like people have created their own community there and are really sort of creating their own narratives, especially within the queer community. So it's so really cool to see that space that you have created with the Queer Art Exchange.
It's always touching for me to meet queer and trans folks in India, especially there were some folks who were still not out to their family, and you know, their family was in the other room and they were performing online and at the same time. And it gives me a lot of hope and courage for them. And I was just glad that they were able to find a space to express themselves and share their art. Yeah, and I hope to continue to be able to do that for people.
Yeah, well, you've created this like amazing safe space for people to, you know, really bring their art to life. So kudos to you. Moving around to different countries, how did you build connections in each city with people or like with the queer community in each city there?
Yeah, I moved around a lot because I always had this, I have three planets in Sagittarius. That's the astrological reason. But I always moved around a lot because of the same reason, I couldn't find the space to explore my sexuality and my expression in general. So I traveled a lot and I moved to the UK. I lived in the US for a while. I lived in Singapore. I lived in the States for a while. And I'm living in Canada. Finding connections, I think it was usually through these cultural and art events. Sort of like the underground art scene is what I was always attracted towards. And I would always try to find, you know, events like that. That made me feel like I could be myself. And it was usually, I guess, TOC folks in the diaspora there that kind of helped me find those spaces. And I was always trying to reach out to connections like that, online or through apps or through university or, you know, common connections and mutual friends like that. But it was always that sort of underground art scene that I was seeking, because that's where I felt most comfortable being myself.
Fair enough. Well, that's pretty cool. That's good that you're able to kind of navigate that, especially on your own, being in a city where, you know, you start off fresh, you start off new, and you don't know anybody. And for you to be able to, like, figure that out is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and Nyla, also putting yourself out there, like, yeah, we know that there's so many queer organizations or groups that exist, but it can be nerve-wracking to attend an event or go meet people. So it shows that, you know, you were passionate about it, passionate about making connections wherever you went. And the reason why you're able to build these events that we'll chat about is, I guess, because of the connections you created everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think anytime I've moved to a place or I have discovered something new about myself, I've always tried to find those spaces where I could discover more and dive deeper into those pieces of myself or those facets of myself. So I would like to be able to give people access to the same, because I know that there's a serious lack of brick and mortar spaces that feel safe and comfortable for, especially for, you know, queer, trans, gender non-conforming people, but also people of color in general.
What do you mean by brick and mortar spaces?
Yeah, just like physical spaces, you know, there are a lot of online communities, but to find that same solace in a physical space, it's very lacking. There's barely any, you know, queer bars that are centered on like non-binary people and like queer women. So I think there's a serious lack of that. And just by creating events like this, I hope to sort of bring that sense of solace for people in physical spaces.
Nyla, you were chatting about, you know, wanting to create more events for gender non-conforming and queer women specifically in physical spaces. Can you tell us more about how you came to use the term gender conforming?
Yeah, the term gender non-conforming sort of came to me after exploring and learning more about gender and gender expression in general. I always felt that, you know, humans in general have mask as well as femme energy in them. And whether they acknowledge it or not, it's there. And gender is a construct that's developed by society. And I believe that a lot of things that are gendered now are because of the results of this post-capitalism era. And that's why I just felt like I never resonated with that. And yeah, I just don't believe that gender exists in general. I feel that everyone has masculine, feminine energies inside themselves. And yeah. We're all on that spectrum.
I totally agree with that. Like, it kind of ties in with the yin and yang. And is that different from non-binary? I mean, I'm learning myself, even part of the community, there's so many definitions and, you know, the LGBTQ2S+, it can get confusing. So I would love to know, like, is that the same as non-binary or is it different?
There is definitely some intersectionality, but non-binary definitely just refers to somebody who doesn't identify as a man or a woman. In general, there's definitely a lot of intersectionality there. It's just sort of what term really speaks to you more.
Right.
It just means that you don't exclusively identify as a male or a female. That's the general idea. You don't believe in gender.
Yeah. And you know what? In schools, a lot of youth that I'm chatting with are using actually gender non-conforming to identify. So I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I think it's really shifting, like from when we went to school.
100%, yeah.
All you would hear was like gay, lesbian.
Yeah, but it was like the only two terms are, actually it was just gay. And I mean, my generation, it was, yeah,
I think mine came in lesbian, and you'd run away from that term.
right.
Yeah, so it's nice, and I think Sharavan is a, you know, organization we want to expand and be more inclusive. So yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did the Queer Art Exchange come about? I know you were saying that it started in the pandemic, but like, what was coming to your mind? You know, what were the thoughts going on, and how did you start it up?
In all truth, it started out because I wanted to create a queer space where my close friends who are closeted, including my partner at the time, would have a sense of community and being able to coexist with other queer and trans people. So that was my main motivation to start that, to bring that sort of community that I had in Toronto. I was living at the time. There's a big queer community there. I wanted to create something that would be transcendental and would be a sort of energy that could be transported to people all over the world. Right. And that's how it started out. And we happened to be in a pandemic, and I happened to be unemployed, and I had a lot of time to organize and build this. And that's why it happened. And wanted to encourage young queer and trans artists to share art, because I was definitely finding that a lot of these people, because their art was so subjective and so related to their gender and sexuality, that they didn't feel comfortable to share it in spaces that were more sort of through universities or through their work, because they didn't feel like the audience would connect with it, because it was more of a cishet audience. And because of that, it was kind of hard for them to share their poetry or music or visual art. So I wanted to create a space where people would feel safe enough and talk about it and get some feedback and collaborate with each other and connect with each other.
Yeah, of course. Me and Sharon actually went to the, I think it was one of the first ones in 2020 through the pandemic. One of us, we were trying to figure out who had spotted the event earlier. And we were just saying how it was really cool, like, to just see so many different faces from around the world and hear so much, such amazing like art, right? Like poetry was, you know, being spoken, and like
there were like singers being serenaded, art.
Yeah, it was really, really, really cool. And we were obviously wondering, like, who is this person that put this together? So, and here we are, you know, 2 years later.
Yeah.
Bam, which is amazing, you know. So.
Yeah, and we know the energy and effort it takes to create an online event like we do the Chai and Chills, and what you had created, it definitely takes time, commitment. So kudos to you, and even gathering all the artists, knowing who's performing next, like the logistics to run a virtual event is not as easy as it seemed.
Yeah.
So it flowed so smoothly. And I think shout out to Kavya. I mean, she did a great job. They did a great job hosting. I was like, yes. Oh, that's so funny. I was entertained the entire time. So.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so good. Cool. I think they had their, like, maybe it was their Amma in the back.
And yeah.
I was checking in a few times. And I was like, I was laughing because I'm like, that's so real.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a really awesome event that we had checked out. And then I had seen some of your stuff you had online through your profile as well, just checking some of those out, which was really, really neat to check out as well.
Yeah. Did you say, you, Nyla, that you've done two of those Queer Art Exchange virtual events?
At this point, I've definitely done over 7 or 8 in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And there's been different variations to it as well. One of them was sort of part of a big digital Desi Pride Festival that was in collaboration with the Gay Gays Bombay, which ran for a whole month.
Right. Yeah.
2021. And we curated all kinds of events and then had queer art exchange concerts every weekend of that month. And yeah, I'm just so glad that you all got to witness one of the very first Queer Art Exchange virtual event. And the other one that we did was sort of more experimental, where it was a blind jam. So I basically brought two musicians together, and they had no idea who the other was going to be, and they had no idea of each other's music. And we just sort of brought them together in a virtual space and had them jam out together. One of them had a keyboard and a synth and a vocal, and the other had a tabla and an Ableton. So it just worked out really well, and they jammed out for like an hour, and you know, they're working on a collaboration now, and yeah, it was just really cool to bring people together and jam and make art.
Most definitely. That's really cool.
You're even cooler than we thought, considering you did so many events.
And now people are collabing, and now here we are as well.
Yeah.
Very good, very good.
Nyla, you were chatting about, since you've done so many Queer Art Exchange and other virtual online spaces, who's been like your favorite artist that you've discovered, and like have they taken it off? Like what's happening?
I mean, there's so many of them.
I know it's hard.
It's so hard to pick.
But putting you on the spot.
But, would like to say I made an underrated Queer Gems playlist, and a lot of them are on there. Some artists I would love to mention, even though it's really hard to pick, is La Mimi. They're a non-binary artist from Pakistan, and they're a musician, they're a visual artist, and they produce their own music, they do vocals as well, they're multi-talented. They released their EP last year, so I would love for you all to check that out. And another one I would love to mention is Simha. Simha is also a queer South Asian artist who's based out of Los Angeles. And he combines Indian classical instruments with jazz tones. And he has amazing music as well, which is out on all streaming platforms. So I would love for you all to check that out as well.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. We'll ask you to share that Spotify playlist. And since you mentioned both those names, they were definitely part of your first Queer Art Exchange event, weren't they?
Yeah, I was like, I recognize these names, and they were awesome. Okay. Yeah, we also want to ask just a bit about the Transgender Expression Haven. That was Vancouver's first trans art gallery. How did that event come together as well?
The Haven is this trans art collective that was started by Angelic, who is this master force, this creative force, who got funded by Creative BC to start a virtual gallery for trans artists across the world. And I got to plan their gallery launch in Toronto as well as in Vancouver. The Vancouver one was about 2 weeks ago at Creative Block, and it was so fun to curate and manage. The space itself is very timeless, and being able to have almost an all POC, trans and non-binary roster of artists performing was very magical to see. And the energy in the room was very affirmative. There's so many people who came up to us and told us that they never felt so safe in a space. And it was very, very warm. And we had some Jamaican patties by a local queer chef. We had projections of the gallery with a joystick that people could toggle around and look at all the art.
Wow.
We had some jazz, we had music, we had a DJ.
Where was this located? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Where was it located?
It's on East Hastings. It's a very small art space. You would probably not see it if you were passing by. It's one of those hole in the wall sort of block party
vibes.
But it was a very special space, and to be able to transform that for the event was a very special process, and being able to perform as well on that night was really, really nice. We had a poet who improvised on the spot using some words from the audience.
Wow.
Her name is Kai, and she did such a great job. And yeah, it was just a beautiful evening. I wish you could have been there.
Yeah, we were really wanting to come to that event.
A lot of FOMO.
Yeah, a lot of FOMO.
As you just explained how amazing the night was.
I was working really, really late, so otherwise I would have been there. Yeah.
Next one, Tyler. 100%. We'll be there with signs.
We will be there.
Yes.
No, that's so cool that the first event happened just in February. So for the listeners out there, clearly keep an eye out for Nyler. Because they're just creating these amazing spaces. And I love that you said you did it here in Vancouver and Toronto. Like, you're just going across Canada. And I think it's so cool. Sometimes, you know, with the Chai and Chill, it feels like Toronto is always doing it big. So we're glad we have Nyler and Van with us. Or so that we can also live it up on this side.
100%, yeah.
Absolutely. I think Vancouver has a lot of culture and a lot of potential to build on that cultural scene. They have a lot of lovely spaces and a great community of queer and trans people who are looking for spaces like this and are actively seeking out for such communities. So I just hope that we can continue to grow and thrive together. And with other cool people.
Yeah, and it totally will with people like yourself. But looking through your work, we learned that poetry is a huge part of your life. As you said, you did a performance there as well in February. Would you be willing to share one of your favorite poems with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to share an untitled poem that I wrote last year when I was in India. I was very overwhelmed with everything going on in the world, and I wanted to use that to create something. And this is how the poem came about. I can feel myself slowly leave my head. Even my face ID refuses to recognize me. No, this isn't another poem about my existential dread. I am simply acclimating to this headless reality on autopilot. Do we age energetically as well? I wonder. As I try to ignore the depleting energy globules around me, coming from my aura, contemplating what is it about mitochondria that gets in the way of impermanence. An uncle once told me that he likes having young energy around him. He even resorted to adopting kittens once the kids had moved away. I think about energy a lot. Whenever I enter a room full of people, my energy sensor app is overwhelmed. I try to find someone to match my frequency, and when I don't, I tend to welcome the release of chaotic energy leaving me. As I walk away, an act of protection, perhaps liberation.
I feel like I need to snap my fingers.
Yeah, let's do that. Yay, Nyler, our first spoken word on the ShareVan podcast.
Yes.
That was really
good. That was really good.
Chatting about energy.
Thank you.
I was feeling it. I was like, oh, I kind of feel that, but
100%.
Very relatable. That is so cool that, you know, we got to see, because right now for folks listening, we got to see your face, Nyler, performing that. You're so passionate. So look out for events where Nyler will be
performing. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes you just feel like you're headless. And you got a poem about it.
100%. I feel like that probably all the time, actually. At work, in life, in general.
But it takes a brave soul too, because I like to write too, but I would think it's so nerve-wracking to perform. You're so vulnerable, you know, like,
well, you're bringing your feelings out in words, and like just expressing to everybody. So it's scary. That's what you said, being vulnerable.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Nyler. Nyler, we wanted to chat about Queer Mango. We did a little bit of research on that, and it seems like it's a international sort of American queer trans folks coming together. Can you tell everyone about that?
Queer Mango is very special. It started by an amazing non-binary Pakistani person based in LA. Their name is Zara, and their intention was basically to uplift LGBTQIA plus South Asian community in general, organize and share diasporic culture and traditions through food and art, and also amplify outreach for community organizations, local chefs and creatives. All of this through, you know, Desi comfort food and queer Desi art. And it was something that I aligned with very well because I studied hospitality. So I hold food very close to my heart. And this was something that was celebrating food and art together through global pop-ups and events where people would perform as well as sell their art or clothing, jewelry, food. And a lot of the funds raised from the events are provided to queer Desi artists as microgrants.
Wow.
So it's a very, very amazing initiative, and I did a lot of their event coordination as well as digital marketing, and I got to be a part of their LA pop-up and perform there as well, and it was just a very special feeling, and we're hoping to do something like that in Vancouver as well.
Yes,
keep us posted. We'd love to come and check it out. So it's like you said, there was a pop-up in LA. What was that like? What did you guys have there? What were they doing? Was there performances and so forth? Other than, like, you know, you said there's some chefs and so forth.
Queer Mango celebrates South Asian as well as Black queer folks. So all of the performances fit in one of those backgrounds. And there was drag, there was music, there was DJ M2A who brought out the tabla.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Really awesome, and there was vegan biryani by a queer chef. There was the streetwear brand that is basically a Indian fusion streetwear brand called Kumari Suraj. So the vendors were really cool. They also got to do a pop-up in New York as well as in DC. At the moment, they're doing a pop-up kitchen out of New York.
We need them to come here.
100%, yes. DJ M2 Ray, yes, that's like one of my faves. A big fan.
Kumari Suraj, like all the names you mentioned. Nyler, you're the force to bring all these folks here. That's really cool. Take on like the chef aspect. You never hear about that with events like for queer and trans folks. So yeah, shout out to Zara for bringing that angle in. Because I don't think I've ever heard of an event where there's been a focus on food as well as art, music, spoken word. So yeah, really good touch. And we look forward to it here in Vancouver.
Definitely, definitely. We're coming to an end. So we wanted you to be able to share what your handles are so folks can connect with you and also know when your upcoming events are going to be happening. So we also can hang out there. And then everybody else that's listening can also check it out.
Absolutely. First, I would like to thank the both of you for taking the time and the energy to organize this. And it's been so pleasurable to meet you in real life as well. And my handle is Shut Up It Doesn't Matter on Instagram, because it doesn't matter.
I know. I wanted to ask you, like, that is such a specific name.
I like
handle.
I like it.
Yeah, I have a hard time with introductions and labels sometimes. So I wanted to just have something that says that it doesn't matter. So it started out as a joke and then I just went with it.
So it was at Shut Up, It Doesn't Matter, everyone.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much, Nyler, for being a part of the podcast. We're so excited to collaborate and create epic queer and trans experiences here in Vancouver, and we're putting it out to the universe. So till next time.
Thank you, Nyler.
So Sharon, yeah, that was such a cool episode with Nyler. I think it's great that she's bringing some awesome people together to have these events like Queer Art Exchange.
Queer Mango. The Haven.
Yeah, what a cool connection point that we've made now as well with her. And to see a brown person, right? Per person of color organizing these events. Obviously, I know she's collabed with other folks doing this, but what a breath of fresh air. Yeah, and I'm just super excited to check out a lot of the events that she's hosting, because I think a lot of those types of events, right, they're all mm-hmm. based on BIPOC, transgender, and queer events that she's posting. They're very usually put together by white people. So it's nice to see a change in that and for her to bring together so many amazing people.
Yeah, I think we were chatting about that. Yeah, being brown, representing, and the fact that she's, or they're not from here, but still having these connections and putting her blood, sweat, and tears in this, creating mm-hmm. these in-person events.
Yeah.
And we know, being in the scene from before, that it is very white dominated and mm-hmm. the usual Hershey Lick events that we've attended. So yeah, shout out to you, Nyler, and we look forward to attending your events in the future.
Yeah, I think that's it, and that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to the Share Vancouver podcast. Please do follow us on Instagram at Sharevan Podcast and check out our website at sharevanpodcast.com. Make sure to download, and follow our episodes on whichever podcast platform you use. Till next month.
Share Vancouver is a registered charity for LGBTQ2S+ South Asians, their friends, and families in Metro Vancouver, BC. Share Vancouver aims to reduce the alienation and discrimination of people experiencing sexuality, gender, and coming out issues through a variety of services. Learn more by visiting sharevancouver.com today.